Hello, my beautiful friend. I have a little snippet of some music to play for you.
Our love is stronger than the fear. Our love is stronger than the fear.
This is Serena Partridge.
Is stronger than the fear. We see the path before us, and we are not.
So I've discovered Serena yesterday. I think I've talked about this many times before. I'm a big fan of Anderson Cooper's podcast, All There Is, in which he has been exploring grief, starting with his own personal grief that he has talked about openly, that he kind of buried for many, many, many years. His brother committed suicide. And when Anderson was a young man, his father died fairly early in his life. And then I think it was maybe just a few years ago that his mother passed away. And he starts the podcast, the very first episode, he's in his mother's house trying to go through her belongings. And it's absolutely raw and vulnerable and real. And I encourage anyone who might be going through a grief of any kind, it doesn't have to be a death to hit us at that powerful level of feeling like grief. There are many, many, many kinds of grief. And so I encourage you, I have found great comfort in those episodes. There's especially one with Frances Weller. And, oh goodness, let me look that up really quickly because I can't think offhand of the name of his book, but it's beautiful. Give me one second. This is how you know this is not AI. Someone asked me recently, believe this or not, someone asked me recently if my writing was AI. And I was like, oh man, what kind of world? What has happened to us that, you know, and I don't blame this person at all. It just really hurt me, right? It just not because it was the person's fault, but it just hurts me that we live in a world where we have to wonder. So anyways, here I am looking up. Frances Weller is the author of The Wild Edge of Sorrow. Beautiful title, isn't it? And anyways, there is an episode where Anderson Cooper is speaking to Frances Weller. And oh my gosh, if you are in grief, I do believe that will make you feel supported, help you feel supported, sorry, not make you. So anyway, the song that I was playing, now let me go back to that and see if I can play a little more.
And our hope is stronger than the fear. Our hope is stronger than the fear.
So this, again, is a beautiful woman that I heard. So Anderson does a sort of a quote-unquote well-produced podcast that you can find wherever you listen to podcasts. But he also does a live stream, not every Thursday night, but on some Thursdays. And the other night, he brought on his live stream this person that you're listening to singing. Her name is Serena, Sarina Partridge. And he had been in Minneapolis covering everything that's been going on. For those of you who may not be, I mean, I'm sure anyone in the United States has been following, you know, all of the just like heartbreaking things that have been happening here. And even if you aren't in the United States, I'm guessing you probably know what has been happening. Oh goodness, it's just our poor country. I have so much heartbreak for what is happening to us all. And I say to us all because I know there may be a lot of people listening to this who might follow me, who maybe don't have the same views that I do, the same, you know, outlook on what's happening. But I think that I can be pretty certain that we are all together in this collective grief, that our country has become so divisive, so divided, that there's so much fear and terror happening. I would find it really hard to believe that there's anybody listening to this who follows me, who doesn't believe deeply, deeply, deeply in humanity and in loving one another. And there is so much terror happening. So anyway, I'm sorry, I got off a little bit, but Anderson Cooper was in Minneapolis and he heard this, I don't know if he heard about or he actually literally heard, but there's a group called, oh goodness, I think it's Resistance Singers. I think that's what they're called. Once again, now I have to look it up because I just posted it on Facebook yesterday. Well, I think that's what they're called. I'm not going to get lost in that. But anyway, one of the things that moved me so much is that Serena, when she's talking to Anderson, she's talking about love, right? She's talking about how she has neighbors who are afraid to leave their homes. And one of the things that she feels she can do, aside from, which I know she's also doing, which is bringing food and supplies to people, which is huge, right? Like, of course, those quote unquote necessities. But another necessity, and this is why I'm talking to you about it, because it really touched my heart, is that she talks about how singing by walking, you know, and circling around the neighborhoods, that, you know, those people who are so terrified, who are so afraid of leaving their homes, that they hear the singing and it lets them know they are not alone and that this is a community and other people are with you. And one of the quotes I wrote down, she said, singing helps us remember that we belong together in community and we're stronger together, as you probably heard in that song. She also talked about that song, I think, is called We Are Not Afraid. Oh, no, it's called Stronger Than the Fear. Sorry. But in the, when she's talking to Anderson, she's singing. And then one of the lines is, you know, we are not afraid. And he says, are you afraid? And she says, yes, very afraid. But that songs can help us to imagine or step into parts of ourselves that maybe that we're not actually really feeling. And I thought that was so beautiful. You know, it's almost like perhaps mantras or affirmations, or, you know, how we might say to one another, you know, I might say to you when you're going through something, you know, I see your strength. And even if you can't see it in the moment or feel it in the moment, there is something that lifts us. And I think that's what she's saying about song. And Anderson refers to this. And of course, most of us know that throughout history, people have used song, particularly when they're feeling hopeless or helpless, or, you know, as if there's no place to go, people turn to song. And I was so touched by this. I'm going to put the link in the bottom of this newsletter so it's easy to find. Of course, you're listening to the audio, so you have to go back to the text to find it. But basically, let me see. It's if you just search, whenever I want to find Anderson, I just put Anderson Cooper, you know, All There Is podcast, and he has both the podcast again, and then he calls this All There Is Live, is when he interviews people who are non-celebrities, people that he meets. Sometimes he's interviewing, for instance, there've been a few times when I've been on, and he has a audio voice line you can call in, and people will call in and talk about how they're surviving these big losses in their life. And so sometimes he will have those people come on the show and he'll just talk to them about like one time he had someone whose teenage son had died, and you know, like that. So The other thing that I wanted to say about this, as most of you may know, I have recently launched an end-of-life planner, and coinciding with that had experienced sort of a pileup of grief and loss in my own life. And of course, am always touching into because of the book and because of my own losses, grief, talking a lot about grief, looking at grief. And one of the things that Serena says and talks about here is that the physical act of singing can create space in our bodies so that grief can move through us. And I thought that was so beautiful because I've been talking to a lot of people. And again, I'm hoping anyone who's listening to this who might be going through, now you might be, you know, part of this collective grief about, you know, and it could be collective grief about what's happening, the divisiveness, you know, here in our country. It could be the collective grief over what's happening all around the world with these horrendous wars and bombings and killings. And I mean, you don't need me to tell you how much is happening in you know, all these places of the world. That is a very real grief. Collective grief is very real. Grief when we hear the news or we see, you know, horrific things happening to families, to children, to people. You might also be going through a personal grief. And it could be, again, it could be a death, but it could also be maybe someone that you deeply love has dementia or is ill, or they're struggling with a grief, you know, or it could be something totally different than illness or death that is also a huge loss. I've been talking to people lately about the loss of friendships, for instance, when something happened or we just grow distant and we lose people who once had a big impact on us. I know someone in my life who has recently lost their job, and that job was not only a source of income, but also such a source of social connection and a rhythm to their life. So, I mean, I know it's silly in a way. I don't need to tell you. If you're a human being on this planet, it's likely that you have gone through or will go through some sort of huge grief. In fact, more than likely, I think it's, you know, it's pretty darn possible, because when we love, and whether it's we love a someone or we love a value or we love a company that we work for, or we love a dream we have, when we love, you know, there's likely loss. I remember once a quote, I can't remember who said it, but it was something like, we can't talk about love without talking about death. And I think that there's some truth to that. And she, Serena, back to her, because I really love her. She was saying that the grief and the love are the same entity. And it's something that, you know, you've heard this before in many ways. Some people say grief is love with nowhere to go. I don't subscribe to that, because I actually think when I'm grieving and I turn to focus on the love that I feel, it does have somewhere to go. I think, you know, I believe we can speak it out loud. We can name it. In fact, I just did a workshop earlier this week with a fellow author friend, Emily, and we were talking about exactly that. We were having people make a love list for someone in their life who has either passed away or maybe is distant in some way, either geographically or maybe, you know, emotionally. And even the people who have passed away, when we're naming the love, I do think it has a place to go. But again, the main point is just that the two are so intertwined. And maybe you'll watch this episode and you'll hear Serena say these things herself. But I think, to me, in the midst of so much heartbreak right now, that hearing somebody speak about, you know, everything that she's doing is coming from love. Everything she's doing is coming from, I live in this neighborhood. I love the people of my community. I'm here for them. And I'm here for them in the grief, and I'm here for them with love, and that the two can't be separated. I just think is a beautiful, beautiful way to live. And as I'm closing out this Lovegram, I realize it's been it's been kind of disjointed, and you know, I hope that's okay, because my intention with you, and I hope that this comes through, is to show up and talk about things that matter, and not be, you know, I don't, oh my gosh, you know, I'm 61 years old. I'm way past that time when I feel like things need to be polished or perfect or make sense even, because I think sometimes when we're talking to each other, when we're talking like friends, things make sense because we're connected by our hearts, not because the words are perfect or the sentences are perfect or, you know, like that. And I feel this with you, and I'm so grateful that you're here. The last thing I want to say, because it is related, is that I, in my life, have been practicing to see what happens. I'm not saying this is the right thing to do by any means, but my friend Trisha had actually suggested this to me. She said, I wonder what would happen if you used the word grief a little bit less and replaced it with something else. And she didn't tell me what to replace it with, but I immediately knew I wanted to replace it with love. So when I am feeling that deep, deep, deep sadness over someone who's no longer here, I'm practicing, instead of saying I'm grieving them, to say I'm loving them. And what happens from that? So far, I'll keep you posted, but it, instead of grief makes me feel like there's a disconnect or something is gone. Whereas when I say I'm loving them, it creates a connection. And in a connection, it feels as if they are right here with me. And for me, that brings great comfort. It feels, first of all, it feels also active in a way. Loving feels like an active, generative feeling. Whereas grief in some ways can feel stuck to me. And again, this is all just me. I want you to try this on for yourself, but I'm just offering this to you in this whole conversation. And I think Serena pointed it out too. You know, they're one entity, and practice seeing things that way. And when we practice looking at it that way, when we practice like I'm loving my community, I'm loving, you know, my country, that opens a door to, if I'm feeling this act of love, what might I do? What action could I take to support and embody that love? So this is just my own private practice, but I really appreciated what Serena is doing in her community. And I like one-on-one to be able to support people who are supporting love in the world. And she's taking food, she's taking supplies to people who are sheltered in place in her neighborhood. She's walking around and creating these groups singing so that people don't feel alone. And so I just looked up her Bandcamp and bought some music, you know, and that's a very, very simple way to support somebody who is really, I think, embodying love in the world right now. So I'd love to hear from you also if you have individuals, and again, you know, it could also be organizations, of course. I'm a huge fan, of course, of organizations who are supporting love, but there's something to me extra beautiful about supporting a human whose face I can see, you know. So, okay, thanks for listening, sending you love. As always, I love to hear from you. I can't always respond to everything I receive, but I do read everything, and I love you being here, and I appreciate you. Bye-bye.